Well, I'm reading from the book of Joshua, chapter 6, and just a few verses here, and I'm going to read from the Living Bible. I like the way it says things sometimes. So, Joshua, chapter 6, verse 1 says, "The gates of Jericho were kept tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go in or out. But the Lord said to Joshua, 'Jericho and its king and all its mighty warriors are already defeated. For I have given them to you. Your entire army is to walk around the city once a day for 6 days, followed by 7 priests walking ahead of the ark, each carrying a trumpet made from a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to walk around the city 7 times with the priests blowing their trumpets. When they give one long blast, all the people are to give a mighty shout, and the walls of the city will fall down, then move in upon the city from every direction.'" Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for the words that you have spoken to us already. Thank you for the songs. There's been so much ministry that has taken place already. But now, Lord, we just ask you to take this word and to plant it in our hearts. And Lord, I thank you that you speak to us words that are relative to life, to where we're at and to where we're going. And I thank you for this word today. And I pray that it would be a blessing to each heart and each life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Have you ever experienced a scenario in your life where God just doesn't make sense? Now think about this. Jericho is a fortress city, well known as being a fortress city. It is a fortress where all these mighty men of war are. Now, this is not a little broken down shack. This is a fortress city. And God says something to Joshua that doesn't make sense. He says, "I've given you the city. I've given you all those men inside there. They're already defeated. Now, they've got walls that are thick enough to have chariot races around the top of it. These men inside are trained warriors. And God says, 'I've given you the city. Now here's the way you're going to do this. You're going to walk around the city for 7 days. One time a day for 6 days. And then on the 7th day, 7 times. And blow the trumpets. And shout with a great shout. The walls will come down.'" So I ask the question, have you ever experienced a scenario in your life where God doesn't make sense? And maybe when I asked that question, you thought to yourself, "I don't know if I want to answer that or not, because I don't know. I don't want God to think that I'm not trusting him or I'm doubting him by saying that. So I'm not going to answer that." Or maybe you think to yourself, "I don't want to answer that because I don't want to sound unspiritual." To say that sometimes God just doesn't make sense. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll answer it for you. I'll answer it for myself. And I'm going to say yes. Yes, there have been times when God just doesn't make sense. I'm going to clarify that. There are times when what God is saying to me and times when God, what God is telling me to do, or where God is telling me to go, or what God is telling me to do, or what I shouldn't do, just doesn't make sense to me. It isn't logical. It doesn't fit into "this is how I would do it" box. Now I'm going to say something right here that we need to understand. Most of our problem as Christians is not the devil. Jesus took care of the devil. Jesus defeated the devil. The devil's underneath our feet. We've got power and authority over the devil. He doesn't have control over our lives. Most of our problem is not with the devil. Most of our problem is with ourselves. And it's with our arguing with God because he doesn't make sense. And most of the problem the children of Israel had with God was this fact. God very often didn't make sense to them. God often directed them to go a direction or do a thing that just didn't make sense. When God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, listen to this, instead of taking them the shortcut, God took them the long way around. And not only did he take them the long way around, but the long way brought them right to the Red Sea. Now I'm going to tell you, that doesn't make any sense. It is not logical. So, 10 times, the Bible says, 10 different times, the children of Israel angered God through their stubbornness and through their rebellion, and it was basically because of this. God didn't make sense to them. In Job 19:3, it says this. These 10 times you have reproached me. You're not ashamed that you make yourself strange to me. God says 10 times you have not obeyed me, or you have not gone the direction that I have wanted you to go, or you did it, but you grumbled and you murmured and complained all the way. And God was not happy. So listen, I'm no expert on this, but I've come to believe that the most important thing in the heart of God concerning his children is this. He wants to be believed. God wants to be trusted. Now, Sister Tanya was up here singing. They were both up here singing, Brother Greg. And I heard her because I listened to everything. I don't just listen to the songs. I listen to everything. I listened to what's said before, what's said after. I listened to everything. And I heard her say, God just wants us to trust him and obey.
Yes. Yes. Right.
The foremost thing in the heart of God for his children is that you will believe him, right, that you will trust him, and that you will obey him. And he will do things, and he will direct his children to do things that don't make sense to them. Now, sometimes I can say that God doesn't make sense to me when he's silent. Has God ever been silent? You've got a talking God, no doubt about it. And he talks to you, you talk to him. But then one day you go to him and you start talking and you start asking questions. And it's like he's like, not today. And you're like, what's up? You talked to me yesterday. You talked to me all week last week. I couldn't hardly sleep because you were talking to me all night. And all day long you were talking to me. While I was driving, you almost ran me off the road. And now you don't want to talk. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. Sometimes God doesn't make sense to me because he asked me to do something that hurts my pride. And that just doesn't make sense. Sometimes he asked me to do things that I don't want to do, that I just don't want to do. And so if the question is, is there ever a time when God doesn't make sense to you? My answer is most of the time. Most of the time. Now let me just elaborate. Did it make any sense to Naaman that he could go dip in a muddy river called Jordan and be completely cleansed from leprosy? You know it didn't. How do we know it didn't? Because when he was given the instruction, he got mad, he got angry, he was ready to load up and go home and say, forget it all. And he had a servant that said, Master, if he would have asked you to do some big thing, that you would have thought you're worthy of you, wouldn't you have done it? Naaman, wouldn't you have done it if it would have been a big challenge that recognized how great you were and honored your great stature? Wouldn't you have done it? How much more would he just ask you to go dip in the muddy Jordan? But you know what his problem was? It didn't make sense. You know what his problem was? His pride. And Naaman almost left a leper because God asked him to do something that didn't make sense. Did it make any sense for the children of Israel to get up every morning and go out and walk silently around Jericho except for the blowing of the ram's horn? They did this once every day for 6 days and seven times on the seventh day, and then to shout. Did that make any sense? There's no logic in any of that. There's no understanding of warfare in any of that. In fact, people were probably looking down from the walls and saying, what are these crazy Israelis doing? What is this? What kind of new tactic is this? What kind of new warfare is this? And they're down there walking around with their mouths shut, not saying a word. And the people in Jericho are probably looking over the wall going, what's going on down there? I don't hear anything. Did that make any sense? It did not. It didn't make any sense. Did it make any sense for Peter to go fishing to get money to pay his taxes? How many of us say, well, I got to pay taxes. I better go down to Avalon. See if I can catch a whale. It didn't make any sense. Did it make any sense for Jesus to spit in the dirt and make mud and put it on a blind man's eyes and then send him across town to wash and to see? Did that make any sense? No, it did not make any sense at all. Did it make any sense? Can you see this man? He's got this mud pack on his face. And there's, you know, it's just not the most sanitary thing anyway. Today, Jesus would be in jail. The health department would have got him. But here's this man walking across town with this mud pack on his face, getting to the place where Jesus said to go so he can wash it off. Does that make any sense? It did not make any sense. I'm trying to build a case here. Did it make any sense for Elisha to cut off and throw a stick into the water where an iron axe head had fallen, expecting that iron axe head to float to the surface? Did that make any sense? Not to me. Nope. But he did it. Did it make any sense for Peter to simply throw his net on the other side of the boat after he had fished all night and caught nothing, and Jesus comes and says, well, your problem is the fish are all over on the other side. Throw your net on the other side. Peter is a fisherman. This is his life's work. Jesus is a carpenter. I got an idea. Peter is thinking, I'm the fisherman here. This is what I do. And I could hear Jesus saying, not very well, evidently. Now, you know the answer. You know the outcome of all these situations. You know what the outcome was. The outcome was Peter reaped a great harvest. The nets were filled to overflowing. You know that the axe head didn't just float to the surface. It swam to the surface. And you know that when they marched around the walls fell down. And we know all those things. But did it make any sense when God instructed them to do it? No. So are there times when God doesn't make sense to me? Absolutely. There's times. Let me go a little further than that. Does it make any sense to you that you can take a piece of fabric, you could pray over it, put some anointing oil on it, and with that fabric and that piece of cloth, that prayer cloth, we call it, is placed on somebody that demons would leave them, that demons would come out of them, and their bodies would be healed by the power of God. Does that make any sense? It doesn't make sense. But it's a fact. Does it make sense that with your mouth, you can say, in Jesus' name, I draw a bloodline, and demons have to stop in their tracks and can't cross that bloodline, even though it's invisible? It doesn't make any sense, but it works. I've learned something about God. What we want from God is sense. What God wants from us is faith. We want God to make sense. He wants us to make faith. He wants us to walk in faith. God is not a sense God. He's a faith God. And walking with God is not a sense walk. It's a faith walk. Everybody say it's a faith walk. We have missed our greatest blessings, our greatest breakthroughs in our lives because we wouldn't do, go, or say what God said to do, go, or say. And the reason why, most of the time, is just because we couldn't figure it out. God, that just doesn't make any sense. Because we want God to be logical. He wants us to be obedient. Did you get that? We want God to be logical. He wants us to be obedient. We want God to explain everything to us before we move. But God wants us to move without Him explaining anything. You know, there's a possibility. Let me say something right here. There is a possibility that there were some scientific equations and hypotheses that went into the walls of Jericho coming down. Now, stay with me. There's a possibility that scientifically, somehow, the continuous blowing of the ram's horn and the single stored up shout created a massive sonic sound wave that disrupted the molecules that held the wall together, and that's why it fell. Does that sound like a scientist right there? There's a possibility of that. I don't really know that, but there's a possibility of that. That's possible. But here's the thing. God did not have a scientific conference with Joshua and explain to him all the scientific details and data of his commission. He just told him what to do. And it sounded crazy. That's how God works. That's how He works. He gives the orders, no explanations. He leaves it up to you. Obey or disobey. Let me say something else. It's possible. Everybody say it's possible.
It's possible.
It's possible that there were some kind of healing ingredients in the mud of the Jordan River that attacked the leprosy on Naaman's body. And he was made completely whole and his flesh became like a child. It's possible. Everybody say it's possible.
It's possible.
Now it's possible. I don't know that. I can't prove it. I have no evidence of it. But it's possible. But the fact is, God didn't say anything to Naaman about that at all. He just said, go dip in the Jordan River. And Naaman said, there are much cleaner rivers where I come from than this dirty mud puddle. But it's possible that there were healing ingredients in that mud puddle that weren't in his country.
Amen.
I don't know. It's possible.
It's possible.
What I do know is God did not explain anything to him about the healing mud. He just said, go dip if you want to be whole. And Naaman went and dipped in the river and he got well. In other words, all those things may be possible, but God did not explain any of it. Why? There's a reason for that. Because God knows all the logistics. He knows why He does what He does. He knows everything about the ingredients that are in the earth. He knows all of that, but He doesn't require from us logistic agreement. Oh, I can preach right there. Did you hear what I said? He doesn't require from us logistic agreement. He doesn't require for us to sit down with Him and talk it over until we come to terms on it and say, well, that makes sense. Let's do that. He just requires obedience.
Yes.
He just requires us to say, God, I believe You know what You're doing. It might not make any sense to me. In fact, it may look completely crazy, but if You said it, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Now, I believe that we're living in such a time in our nation, our country, that our very survival may hinge on the simple obedience to God's directions. Stay with me right here. Even when it doesn't make sense. I'm going to say it again. I believe we're living in such a time that our simple survival may hinge on the simple obedience to God's directions, even when they don't make sense. Could tell you many, many stories of lives that were saved because someone heard God say something and they obeyed. Don't go that direction. Leave this place. And God saved them and spared them and kept them because of their obedience. In the last 2 years, especially the last 2 years, it's felt like we've been on a roller coaster in this country. Many times we haven't been able to make sense of what God has been doing or not doing. But I believe I got a revelation on this. I believe God has been allowing us to feel this way to bring us to the place where we can walk in simple obedience. God calls that faith. Everybody say obedience,
obedience
equals faith.
Equals faith.
Now, when we were kids, ever so often our dad would play a game with us. We took the same route to church Sunday and Wednesday, to church and home 2 to 3 times a week. For years we did that. So we thought that we could tell where we were at without looking. So this was a game we would play. We would close our eyes in the back seat. Dad would start driving. And we would begin to navigate the route with our eyes closed, telling Dad where we were at on the route. Has anybody ever done that?
No.
Now that was fun. That was fun. Based on how fast or slow we were moving, we thought we knew where we were at. The stops that he had to make, the turns that he had to make, how fast he would have to go after he left a certain spot because it was a stretch. And we were navigating, man. And we were doing pretty good. And we would say, we're here at this such and such a place. He'd say, yep, you're right. Move on a little further. And then we say, we're right here. He would say, that's right. That's right. He'd go a little further. And we would say, and we would all agree. There's four boys. And we'd come into agreement and say, we're right here. And he'd say, nope. And we said, what? See, we get confused. Because we thought we knew the way it was supposed to go. And we did, if he stayed on the route. We did. But what we left out of the equation was, Dad never told us he was going to stick to the route we knew. He never told us that. Even though we knew the route that we had taken so many times, we weren't in the driver's seat. Look at somebody and say, I got news for you. You're not in the driver's seat. So we would get confused. And we would think, now look, watch this now. So this is in the little kids' minds. So when we got confused and we didn't know where we were at, we got scared. Eyes closed. It's like, oh no, we're lost. It's like, we can't get home. We don't know where to go. We were lost. So we would get confused and Dad would laugh and he would say something like this. He would say, just trust me. I'll get you home. Even if it's not the route you're used to or you're familiar with, I know where I'm going. I think God is saying the same thing to us today. He's saying, if you'll just trust me, I'll get you home. I'll get you through this. I know where I'm at. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. I know where I want to take you. And I'm going to get you home. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to get you to the other side. All you've got to do is trust me. Say, I'm going to trust him. Say, even when it don't make sense. Now, sometimes we would get aggravated at Dad because he wasn't keeping to our route.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, have you ever got angry or aggravated at God because he wasn't keeping to your route? He's not keeping to the route we planned for him. We're wanting to close our eyes and tell God where to go, what to do, based on what we're comfortable with, familiar with. But God wants us, in a sense, to close these natural eyes and just trust Him and obey Him, even and especially when it don't make sense. Especially when it don't make sense. And listen, if we ever get this principle, it will be wonderful, because we will realize it takes all the weight off of our shoulders. We don't have to understand the mechanics. We don't have to understand the scientifics or the logistics of it. All we have to do is obey. Look at somebody and say, you just got to obey. That's it. God says, Moses, stretch out the rod over the sea. But God, why? What's the logic behind that? And God, which end do I point? And God, how long do I have to hold it out there anyway? And God, beside that, how is holding this stick over the sea going to affect the water? But you know what? God doesn't get involved in any of that. How many have figured out that when you want to argue with God, He don't argue? When you want to talk logistics over, He don't talk. He just says, do it. Fill the water pots with water. But they're asking for wine, not water. Just do it. There's an amazing little course I learned some time ago, and it goes like this. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Isn't that a powerful little song? What do you do when God doesn't make sense? When He doesn't move the way you wanted to? When healing comes in stages instead of instantly? When the financial breakthrough seems like it will never come? When the children you prayed for and wept and travailed over seem farther away from God than ever before? When you drop your ballot in the box, but you don't get what you voted for? What do you do? God doesn't make sense. You keep on praising Him. You keep on praising Him. You keep thanking Him. God, I thank you. God, I praise you. God, I thank you. You acknowledge that He knows what He's doing, even if you don't. You acknowledge that He's in the driver's seat. You acknowledge He can see what's coming up ahead. You acknowledge He knows what He's doing. Hallelujah. And you keep praising Him. And you trust His timing. Everybody say, Lord, I'm going to keep praising you. I'm going to keep thanking you. I'm going to trust your timing. And I'm going to acknowledge you know what you're doing. See, the main thing is that we keep praising Him, because praise is the voice of faith. The praise and be raised. Complain and remain. I don't want to remain. I want to be raised. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on praising God even when I don't understand it. Even when it don't make sense. Now listen, sometimes God says march. Sometimes God says stand still. Sometimes God says be quiet. Sometimes God says shout. Sometimes God says wait for the waters to part. Sometimes God says step in so the waters can part. Sometimes God says run to the battle. Sometimes God says wait for the rustling of the mulberry trees. Sometimes He says go. Sometimes He says stay. Sometimes He says yes. And sometimes He says no. And sometimes He says not right now. But even when I don't understand it, I'm going to praise Him. Even when it doesn't make sense to me, I'm going to keep thanking Him. I'm going to keep trusting Him. And He knows what He's doing. Sometimes what God tells you to do will be the most illogical move that you could possibly ever have made. In Joshua chapter 3, the Jordan River was at flood stage. God said, I'm going to take you across. Joshua said, hallelujah. That's what we were hoping for. How are we going to do this, God? And God says, here's how we're going to do it. You tell the priests that bear the ark to take off their shoes and with the heavy ark on their shoulders, wade out into the raging flood waters. I can almost hear Joshua saying, that doesn't make any sense. God, do we have a plan B that we can consider? But Joshua obeyed. Probably some of those people around Joshua says, why do we have to do that? We remember the stories about Moses and the Red Sea opened up and then they went in. Why do we have to do this? And what did Joshua say? What could he say? It's the way that God said to do it. But I don't like this way. Well, then do it your way. And let's see what happens. How many's ever tried to do it your way and you're not too happy about the results? I don't understand everything God is doing. I don't understand His delays in things. I don't understand sometimes what He asks me to do and what He tells me to do. And sometimes even when He tells me to stop and to stay. But we have to understand that God not only orders our starts, He orders our stops. And if we're going to trust Him, we got to trust Him all the way. We get to a certain point with my dad driving the car and we get a little bit disturbed and we want to open our eyes. Because it's like we thought if we could open our eyes, we could get Him back on track. Somehow, if I just open my eyes, I could will this thing back to where I want it to be. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't need to will this thing back to where we want it to be. We need to trust God. We need to trust God with the United States of America. We need to trust Him with what He's doing right now in this country. Instead of people getting mad and get frustrated because things didn't work out the way they thought, everybody was talking about, well, we're going to get a red wave. It's going to be wonderful. And they're going to kick all those Democrats out. We're going to kick Nancy out. We're going to kick Schumer out. We're going to investigate Hunter. And we're going to just... And then instead of getting a red wave, you get a red puddle. And you can get upset. And you can be angry. And you can say, okay, God, that's it. I'm going to open my eyes now. Because I don't like the way you're driving. You know why I can preach this? Because I lived it. I've lived it. There have been times I didn't like the way He's driving. But I've learned. I'll just trust Him.
Yes.
Oh, He knows what He's doing.
Right.
He knows where He's going.
Yes.
It's going to end up great. It's going to be wonderful. And what God has in store for us is going to be so much better than anything we can do for ourselves. So much better than anything you could will to happen.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. Every miracle, every breakthrough, every healing, everything we need from God, for God to do, for us individually, for us as a body, for us as a country, it's on the other side of obedience. It's on the other side of obedience. Fill the water pots with water. That doesn't make any sense. We don't need water. We need wine. Just do it. And on the other side of obedience, there's a miracle. God, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to obey. Lord, it's not logical. I never told you it would be logical. I never said that everything I do would make sense to you. I just said, if you want the rewards of faith, you have to live by faith.
Yes.
We walk by faith and not by sight. Let's all stand. I tell you, and you know this because I said it before the elections, I was hoping for a red wave.
Amen.
I wanted to see a red wave. I wanted to see what happened in Florida happen to the whole of the United States. And I wanted to see, especially here on this West Coast, here on this side of the earth, I wanted to see somebody get kicked out a long way out. I did. But just be honest about that. It didn't go that way. But God knows what He's doing. And I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to trust Him not only with my life. You got to say this with you. Say, Lord,
I trust You.
You know what You're doing
with our country.
I trust You.
You know what You're doing
with our families.
And
Lord, I trust You. You know what You're doing with our church. And
Lord,
I trust You.
You
know what You're doing with my life. And I trust You. And I'm going to obey You. Because it doesn't matter whether it makes sense or not.
I believe You.
And I trust You.
Can
you just lift your hands all over this house today and just tell Him, come on, I want us to renew a commitment to the Lord today. To trust. Just lift your hands today and talk to the Lord for just a minute and renew that commitment. Lord, I'm going to trust You, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry that I've kicked. I'm sorry that I've fussed. I'm sorry that I've argued. I'm sorry that I've made it difficult on You. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've tried to push my will on You. I'm sorry, God. I repent, Lord. I want to trust You. Lord, I want to trust You with that simple childlike faith that takes You at Your word and says, I believe You know what You're doing. I trust You, Lord, that You know the way. You know the path. You know how to get us where we need to go, Lord. And I'm just going to release it. I'm going to release some things to You today. I feel like somebody just needs to release some things today to the Lord. You just need to release some things. You've been trying to work it out and figure it out and will it out. And God says, just yield it. Just lay it down. Just give it to Me. And trust Me that I know what I'm doing. Even when it doesn't make sense, I will guide you. I will lead you. And what does God require from us? Really? Just a yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your ways. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Come on, sing that again. Oh, I'll say yes. Yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. Oh, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You. Shake somebody's hand and sing this song as you're shaking their hand. I say yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. Oh, I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree.
and help me eat the food that was left over from yesterday. We have sandwiches, potato salad, chips, and drinks. And I'd love for you all to come and join.
Amen.